Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Joined now by the outstanding Ala Abdelnaby, who joins us to talk about the Sixers and the NBA playoffs. Ala, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. As you watched it play out, can you give us an idea, as someone who knows this, has played it, the kind of guts that Joel Embiid played with as we watched him during the course of the playoffs, and especially after he got hurt so badly in the thumb and in the face?
Well, I think he's come a long way, hasn't he, from a guy who, when he first got into the league, people wondered whether he was going to amount to anything, whether or not he was worthy of such a high pick. You know, that navicular bone that he had in his foot that he had to deal with for 2 years, you know, had a lot of doubters around. So when you ask that question, that's what makes me think of his journey. And to see him now and where he's come, not only a guy who plays practically night in and night out, but last year had the best year. It just speaks to his drive. It just speaks to his desire, his hunger. I think he sees a lot of his friends around him in the league who have celebrated and have been champions, and I think he wants a piece of that. I think he wants to be considered great, and I think he wants to leave a legacy. And, you know, he realizes that he doesn't want to be on that side of guys who never won but were great. He wants to be a guy who was great and also won. And I thought you saw all of his desire on full display, especially in the playoffs. Nobody is healthy or fully healthy come playoff time, but he was certainly carrying a bunch of stuff that other guys weren't. And you know, like I said, I was impressed, and to be able to, you know, finish off Toronto up there in a tough scenario and then to come back and then have to deal with the facial situation just compounded things. But I don't think there's any doubt in how bad he is and how bad he wants it.
All right, so let me ask you this. Is there a concern on your part that's around this all the time, that years are slipping away from surrounding a transcendent talent without making deeper runs?
Well, I think everybody's aware of the window, right? That proverbial window of opportunity that he's operating under, that the Sixers are operating under and are very well aware of. The trick is to put pieces around him, right? And James Harden was an experiment. I think it's an experiment that's still ongoing. And Tobias Harris has played probably his best, most clutch basketball. He was really good throughout the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey is coming into his own. So there are some pieces there, but I think everyone watching realizes that there's still a few pieces away. Would love to see some more athleticism and length in as far as the 3-4 position is concerned. But, you know, they're not that far away. They just need a few other pieces around Joel. But what a great place to start when you have the big fella.
All right, so let's get to the Harden part. I mean, they acquire him, and they had time to integrate him, and he had time to adjust to the Sixers' style. What worked and what didn't work as you watched it on an everyday basis?
Well, with all due respect, I'm not sure he did have enough time to adjust. You know, I kind of equate it to a quarterback being traded during the regular season in the NFL. You don't see it because it's really hard to change a floor leader out there in midstream and then have to pick up the terminology on both ends of the floor. You're the head of the defense on one end, and then you're the leader on the offensive end of the floor. That's a lot. And then we don't know how healthy he's been, you know, in a Sixer uniform, because we knew when he left Brooklyn that he was kind of harboring a groin. And I can speak to you, you know, not personally, but with guys that I've played with that have had that issue, it doesn't just go away. Those are kind of things. Ask Devin Booker. You know, he was dealing with one as well. And you know, it kind of reared its ugly head a couple of weeks ago for him. So, again, I'm not sure he was 100%. I would love to see him at 100% and the benefit of starting a training camp. Then I think we could fairly judge him. I know it's easy for us to label him, you know, as a guy who fell short because the Sixers fell short. But I'm not quite sure he was at full strength, so it's hard to judge a guy like that.
So what do you think of his game? How do you think he actually should be integrated?
Well, I think he's still a heck of a passer. You know, and he was all the way up until the end. I just don't know if that explosiveness is still there. But again, I go back to the groin, because if your groin is bothering you, you can't be as explosive. And his game was to get by the first guy covering him and then create advantages offensively. You didn't see that, especially against Miami. Now, give credit to Miami, because I'm watching them play the way they did last night against the Celtics. Miami's defense is really, really good. So it wasn't one-on-one. It was more one-on-three. And I don't know if anybody, not just James Harden, can get through three defenders each time down the floor. So, again, a tough thing to judge, because they were going up against a really good Miami defense that smothered him. He saw bodies when he crossed half court. There weren't a lot of places for him to go. But, again, shooting is also involved with your legs. And if your groin is kind of off, you're not, you know, you're not balanced. So there's a lot of things that I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for right now. But again, like I said, if you have a whole season underneath your belt and preseason camp and you're presumed healthy, then I think we start to judge you.
Right, exactly. Look, everything's tight this time of the year. Is this a question of missing a couple plays in the first half of a game, maybe a couple plays in the second half, and that's why it's not happening, because the margin is so thin at this point?
Well, I think part of it, too, is how you close out quarters and halves. I think that's a big part of it, too, because you want to be heading into the locker room with momentum. And the 76ers, I don't think they did a really good job against the Miami Heat of closing out third quarters, because you never felt really good about their chances going into the fourth. So you could also say about their games down in Miami, the second quarter, finishing the second quarter, with the exception of maybe game one. So I think it's how you play. And like you said, it's such a small margin of error. Every possession counts. I think when you fall short, everything becomes magnified. But again, I repeat, I don't think the Sixers are that far off. I just think you need some athleticism and some more threes. The old three and D is what they call them. I'd like to see a few more of those characters out on the floor.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, Celtics played last night without Smart. Horford hung in for a while. Jimmy Butler at 17. Heat won. Got Warriors. They're going to be in action. And they're not going to face the Suns. They're going to face Doncic and the Mavs. Let's take each series. I mean, you saw all four teams. I mean, what do you think of Heat and Celtics?
Well, I think it's going to be physical, and I think last night was a good example of that. And you heard Ime Udoka after the game talking about how his team has to adjust to that, because there's a lot at stake. The games are big games now. There's a lot to play for, is my point. And if it gets physical, you can't back down from that. You've got to match that. You've got to be able to play through that. And I think that's where Ime noticed last night, that they got punched in the mouth a little bit from Miami. Give them credit. And the Celtics, if they want to hang in this, have got to respond to it.
All right, so then you've got Dallas and the Warriors. Dallas went in to Phoenix, and that's one of the worst Game 7 home performances I've ever seen by a team. Hey, ever, in anything. anything. So, why? Why did that happen?
Well, I could just tell you that Phoenix didn't make adjustments. You know, they were taking the ball out of Chris Paul's hands early, as soon as he crossed half court a lot of times, and made other people start the offense, and it kind of threw them off. And I'm just surprised that they didn't make the adjustments necessary for them to overcome that. That and Luka was just on fire. Not only was he making huge buckets for them, but he was also getting other guys involved, and other guys stepped up, whether it was Brunson certain nights, Dinwiddie more recently. They've got some pieces there. I still think the Warriors are too much for them, But that doesn't mean it's not going to be fun to watch, because I think Luka on the other end at least gives Dallas a fighting chance each and every time down the floor.
I felt, and I said this after game four, which was in Dallas, I said, Dallas, Chris Paul will try to play bully ball with you at times. That's a compliment. That's not meant to be a cut. I said, Dallas is playing bully ball with him. And you and I know that sometimes guys that play that way don't like it when they're played with on that end of the floor. Did you see that? I felt like Dallas like physically went at him when he was playing defense.
I think, well, especially when they'd switch up and they'd have him on Luka. Luka's a big boy. Luka's a good 6'7". And even in that series, you saw him post up Ayton. So I don't think he was afraid to post up anybody on that Phoenix team. And he's just so gifted. He's so talented. And he's such a good passer that if he does draw double teams, he makes you pay for him. If not, he's able to shoot over him. And, yeah, your point is well taken in that if you want a guy who is not going to be so vigorous on the offensive end, maybe make him defend on the defensive end and take his legs out. He's not going to be attacking you with the same kind of vigor. I completely thought that they occupied Chris on the defensive end, and it may have taken something out of him. He is 37, after all.
Jeez, that didn't make me feel good.
Oh, I'm 53. He's much younger than either you or I.
I'm saying I'm 64.
Well, God love you.
I'm trying to remember 37. I'll say that Doncic, I'll give him credit for the other air. I'll give him a lot of credit. He plays with a little bit of swag, doesn't he?
And it seems like it's hard to get under his skin. I think he relishes it.
Yeah.
And his play backs it up, too. You know, it was pretty impressive. Like you said, I've never seen anybody get completely washed like that. The Suns laid down. It was mystifying. Yeah. And it was kind of, you know, obviously boring, but at the same time, you kind of, your mouth was agape because you couldn't believe that they didn't have a run in them. It was just so one-sided from the get-go. It was disappointing.
Yeah, 64 wins in the regular season.
Well, that's the context that makes it disappointing, right?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You expected more of them.
I mean, they had 18 losses.
Yeah, no, I saw them play it live. And I saw them play other nights when they were playing other opponents besides the Sixers, and they're really, really good. Because the game's played with the backcourt now, and they have two of the best backcourt players in the league, especially during the regular season. So that's what, you know, that's what they had going for themselves. But when you take that away, you start to see what a huge drop off it is when Chris Paul is having a hard time playing at his level.
Well, you're among the best in the business. I appreciate the time you gave us today and the perspective, Ala. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. We'll see you next season.